Wow, praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day, all of you people. Praise the Lord. We're all grateful. Of course, not everybody feels like this, I guess, but I know I had the best mother in the world. And I know that. I know she was the best mother in the world. Of course, I know that her sacrifice, you know, I had no clue what she literally went through, you know, to raise all of us up. But one of the things we didn't have a whole lot at all, you know, when we were growing up. But I remember my mother, we would need extra money. So mother would go over and work at the washer, the place where they wash clothes. And of course they, you know, had done a lot of that by hand and had to run them through the wringers and all that stuff. And it was hot in that place, you know, and I didn't think nothing about coming home from school in the afternoon. And mom say, "Are you hungry?" And I said, "Well, yes, mom, I'm hungry." And she'd hand me a quarter and say, "Here, you know, go up and get you a hamburger." And so I'd just, you know, take the quarter and go get me a hamburger. And I had no idea, you know, that it took mom about almost an hour to make that quarter. You know, I didn't even think about it. You know, that you just take things for granted when you're a kid. You have no idea all of the hours your mother works to provide for you. And you just don't have a clue. And it's kind of like that's kind of like all of us, both men and mothers, husbands and wives and everybody. As long as everything's going good, it's not difficult. I mean, it is difficult, I guess I should say, to say, "Thank you, Lord." You know, so many times we go through the whole day and He bathes us with sunlight, you know, moonlight, you know, air to breathe, you know, water to drink, you know, food to eat. And some of us never even say, "Thank you, Father, for providing all this for me." But when you have to do without it for a while, you know, all of a sudden, if you don't have any money, you don't have anything. And of course, you know, you really never know how to appreciate mother until she's not there. But that day's coming for everybody. You know, I've come to that time in my life. I really didn't realize how much I love my mom or my dad, both of them. And I really didn't realize how much I loved them. I didn't realize how fortunate I was. I was one of the luckiest men in the world. I had no idea. I thought everybody in the world lived like we did. Of course, we never had a lot of nothing. I mean, we had an old car, you know. I mean, we didn't have hardly anything, but we had love. And we were all at home together. Had an old house, you know, that the wind blew through the slats in the wall, you know. But, you know, I didn't know nothing. I thought everybody lived like that, you know. I didn't know. But I didn't know how much mother and dad loved me. And I just didn't. It took a long time for that to soak in on me, what they actually did and what they sacrificed to raise us children and to raise us up in the love and admonition of God. And I am so grateful now that I'm the age I am now, that I had this wonderful mom and dad. And I thought everybody in the world had that kind of mom and dad until I got a little older and left home. Then I realized there ain't hardly nobody got a mom and dad like I had. You know, there is so many people out there that is so wicked, you know, that's living so wild and stupid. And I just didn't know people live like that. I did not know that. I just didn't know it. But I do now, let me tell you, I do know. So if you have a good mother, you need to tell her thank you. You need to hug her neck if she's still alive and tell her how grateful you are for your mother, you know, because the sacrifice that she went through to get you where you are, you'll never know. You'll just never know. But it's awesome to have a good mother. And like I say, if your mom's still alive, which mine is not, you know, mine died many years ago. But if you have a mother, be sure, if you haven't talked to her in a while, you know, if she is alive, at least call her today and tell her how much you love her, you know, because she went through a lot to get you where you are today. So don't forget to praise the Lord and thank your mother and praise her too. We had a good healing school yesterday. We had a lot of people here yesterday at the healing school. We had lots of folks here. And I guess I went over some things yesterday that I had not talked about At least I had some of the men especially come down that were really touched, because I talked about some of the things that causes men to die early. And most men never thought about it, but there it is in the Word of God. And they never think about it, what it is. But, you know, we just don't see God like He really displays Himself in the Word. We just think that, well, I guess it's kind of like mothers, you know. We don't know what they go through to get us where we are, so we don't know what God goes through to get us where we are either. But I'm sure glad that He's God and I'm not. Well, He is an awesome God, but He has given us some great things. I mean, great things the Lord has given us. And as His children, today I want to talk a little bit about our enemy that causes us to be like we are, and then the wonderful power that God has given us so we don't have to go the ways of the world. I mean, it's all available from God's Word, and most people don't know it. I didn't know it. It took me lots of years of reading God's Word and believing what I read. Because that's another issue today, that do you know that technically speaking, according to God's Word, every human being on the face of the earth is blood bought and blood washed if they only knew it. Isn't that something? That Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, came to this earth, was beaten and bruised and killed and hung on a cross for you. And He's not willing that any should perish. But you have to receive that gift by faith to get it. It's not automatic. You know, you're not going to get it automatically. You have to walk up to Him and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that You sent Your Son to die for me. He died for me. I accept that free gift in the name of Jesus. Man, He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He will create a new creature in you. And when you get in the Word of God, you will become a new person. I mean, you'll be different. You can't help but be different. You can't do the old things you used to do. In fact, I was so blessed yesterday. I will tell this because these people are not here. But yesterday about 11 o'clock, I went out to move some cars so we'd have plenty of room for parking. And there was two older ladies and two younger ladies out there getting out of a car at 11 o'clock. And I walked out and I said, wow. I said, are y'all come to the healing school? Oh, when they turned, I said, Pastor Scrivener, yes. I said, you have no idea how you've changed our life. So we come here from Arkansas and Louisiana, and we, that's where they live, 5-hour drive away. They drove in yesterday morning, and of course these girls, they immediately said, can we take pictures with you? Can we touch you? I said, ma'am, I'm just a man. She said, no, you're not. You're not just a man. You're a man that walks with God, and you have touched our lives and changed our lives forever. I thought, glory to God in the highest. Now, that's, you know, that so humbles me to think that I've had the privilege to just those four women to touch their lives and change them and their families forever. But do you know, when I go away from here, when I do leave this world, I want everybody that knew me said one thing about him. There's a man that walked with God. He walked with the Lord. He knew Jesus, and he had made an impact on my life. I think that's the way every one of us ought to be as Christians. Amen. We ought to be making an impact on somebody's life, because the King of Kings lives in us. You know, it's just amazing how we can do things once we understand what's going on. You know, but most people today that even call themselves Christians are not producing any fruit for the kingdom of God. I mean, I was one of those, you know. I mean, if you'd asked me, I got saved at 11. And, you know, by the time I was 30 years old, you could have said, well, how many people have you led to Christ? And I said, well, that's not my job. That's a preacher's job. But it's not the preacher's job. It was my job. It is my job. When I'm just a man, a servant that serves God, I'm a disciple, and I'm supposed to go and produce fruit for the kingdom of God. And the scripture says if I don't do that, he'll be merciful to me for a few years, and then he'll cut me off. And that's scary, isn't it? That's really scary. You know, some of the men that came up yesterday said, wow, I never read those scriptures. Especially in John, when you read there where if I don't produce fruit, he cuts me off and throws me into the fire. That scared their socks off. And they said, I want to repent. I thought, wow, God's word's getting through to some of these guys. But you know, when I read that, that scared me too. I don't mind telling you. So I thought, man, I don't want to be cut off. You know, I want to live a good, long, healthy life. Because God said if I do what he says, he will bless me like that. And I've come to realize that the more I serve him, the more he blesses me. And I mean, after Kathy and I talked yesterday about that, those ladies coming out there, she said, Pastor, I get letters like that from people all the time that order your stuff. Said, tell Pastor, he has changed our lives forever. He's got us healed, or our children healed. And I'll tell you one that just touched my heart just recently. Cheryl and I, and some of the people here from the ministry, we went to a barbecue down here in town, and we sat down. There was people everywhere, and there was a little lady, which I didn't know who she was, and she had her 9-year-old son with her, and she walked up to the table, and she looked across the table, and she said, Thurman, I want you to know we will love you forever. I said, ma'am, I don't even know who you are. She said, 9 years ago, when this boy, we had this boy, we were in Cook's Medical Center, and the doctors told us he would not live through the night. And I'd heard your story about your granddaughter. So I called you and asked you if you'd come down here and pray for us. And you said, yes, you didn't even know us. But she said, you got in your car. You drove all the way to Cook's Medical Center, and you talked to my husband about Jesus, and he repented for his sins, and you prayed for our son, which they said could not live through the night. And she said, with tears in her eyes, she said, here he stands, 9 years old. And I thought, wow, what a God we serve, huh? I don't want to be like the guy that was on the news the other night when they said he's retiring, and everybody was saying, well, I'm going to remember whatever his name was because of this or this. But one guy said, well, I'll remember him because he tells the best dirty jokes I ever heard. I thought, oh, God, I don't want to be like that man. I don't ever want a dirty joke to come out of my mouth. Never. I definitely don't want to be remembered as a man that can tell the best dirty jokes you ever heard. Can you imagine a Christian that would want to be remembered like that? I hope not. I want to be remembered as the man that would drive to Cook's Medical Center and pray for the little child. And the mother would come to you with tears in her eyes and said, because you did what you did, because you served God, our son is alive today. With tears in her eyes, she said, we will love you forever. That's the way I want to be remembered, don't you?
Amen.
I think about the things we do and the time we invest to go do something. When we learn who we are, how we can change people's lives. And that's the way I want to be remembered. Let's talk about our enemy. We have one. He is really something. He's really good at what he does. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, let's look at this one verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our enemy. Most people don't even understand demons. I was raised up in a church that never even taught about demons. And Satan, they didn't understand who he was. I ask many a PhD, where did Satan come from? You know, I don't understand this. You know, if God's a God of love, why did he make Satan? If he did, You know, where did he come from? You know, why are all, where are these demons? Where do they come from? If they're all mean and everything and do what the scripture says. And nobody could give me a good answer. So I just thought, okay, God, it's you and me and the word. And I know if I study this word long enough, I'll figure this out. Because I know you've revealed everything to us in your word. So one day I was reading in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, 17, and 18. Let's go to Colossians 1, 16, 17, and 18. Let's see what that says. For by him, Jesus, all things were created. Okay, if I stop and meditate on that, who made everything? The Lord did. Yeah, God did. He made everything. And then he lists these things for us. For by him were all things created, things that are in heaven, that are in earth, both visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So who is he? He is God. He runs the universe. He's in charge of it. Whether you believe it or not, he's in control. And so many people today, they don't know who he is at all. They have no idea who God is. The only way they see God is a big loving God that's up in heaven hoping we'll do good. He has no input into our life. But I'm telling you, he has all kinds of input into our life. Amen. All kinds of input. When God makes statements what he will do in his word, he means that. He says, you know, if a child, he said, if you don't honor your parents, it will not be well with you, and you will not live a long life on this earth. That's written. You know, and of course, I would see people that I'd see. Let's say I'm talking to Joe and Bob. Let's just call two guys' names, and they're brothers. And I'm talking to Joe, and he's 65 years old, and he's still going strong. And he talks about his brother, Bob. I said, well, I never heard about Bob. Bob died at 40. Had a massive heart attack at 40 years of age. I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, and you've never had any problem? No, I never had any problem. I'm good health. I said, you know, let me ask you a question. Now that I'm learning things I'm learning about God's word, I said, what was the relationship between you and your brother and your mother and father? Oh, he said, I always loved mom and dad. I respected them greatly. You know, I'd really done good things for them. You know, I always helped mom keep her car going, or dad, when he needed something done around the house, I'd go and help him work on the house. I loved my mom and dad. Whatever my dad and mom told me to do, I honored them with all my heart. I said, well, how about your brother? Oh, and he said, now with my brother, it was a different thing. You know, said he used to call my mother bad names, you know, say things nasty to her. Say, oh, man, if he wants something done, let him do it himself. I ain't going to go help him. I said, and he died at 40. He said, yeah, he died at 40. I said, you know, that confirms the word of God one more time. Children, honor your parents in all things so that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life. I said, by the way, did your brother ever have any sickness and disease in the time of his 40? He said, all kinds of things happened to him. He never did anything that, you know, that amounted to nothing. But he never honored mother. He never honored daddy. He just called dad the old man. Never helped him do nothing. You know, we have an enemy. You know, and when I think about this enemy, I wonder where this enemy came from and what's his job. If God made him, now then, if the scripture says here, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. That pretty well covers the whole spectrum, doesn't it? Both visible and invisible. Now then, we have a visible earth and a visible cosmos that we can see, do we not? Is there an invisible world too that we don't see? Yeah, because you can't see God, can you? You can't see his angels, can you? Now, unless they manifest. But they can manifest. But as a rule, Satan and his host of demons, you and I never get to see them. We only see the results of what they do. But we don't see them. Now, you can see them. They can manifest where you can see them. In fact, I will tell you one night I remember well here on this place, we had some things that happened that, like my son-in-law, when my daughter was still alive, my son-in-law came in drunk one night. And he was very hard to control that night. Awful what people do. But this boy come in, wiped out. He came in, and he was not a nice boy. I thought I was going to have to take a 2x4 and knock him out. And I was just about ready to do that when I decided to call his uncle. I said, he can probably take care of him. So I called him, and he came in, and he got right down there at that tank. And as he got right down there at that tank, there was a person walking with a hood on their head and a gown-like thing that went plumb to the ground. And he stopped and said, hey, is this the Scrivener residence? And when they turned around and looked, it was a skeleton inside that thing. It scared that man so bad, he spun out and he left, and he never did come back. I've never seen him to this day. Finally, he said, I don't know what was going on up there, but said there was some kind of devil of hell on the road to your house. Why was that devil of hell on the road to my house? I had a boy in my house that was drunk and creating all kinds of evil, and that devil was controlling him that night. That's what had caused him to do the problems he was doing. The demons of hell, which get in there, our enemy, which we do not understand who they are and what they do, but it scared that man socks off. What would you do if you turned around and looked into a goon in a hood that there's just a skeleton inside that face, a face in there, looked you in the eye? What would you do? Would it scare you? Most people it would. There was a time in my life when it would have scared me, but not anymore. I can remember the night when I think about our enemy and how the enemy does things. When my granddaughter was nearly killed in that car wreck, how that her spirit was opened and how a demon manifest, or at least not manifest, but a demon came into Caitlin. I didn't know it. I got her out of the hospital. She wasn't able to hardly walk and nothing. She was getting better every day. And one day Tim and Maraca came in. They were not married yet, but they were going to get married, and they came out to see if I needed any help with Caitlin. And I said, yes, now that y'all are here. I was out working in the back. I said, but if y'all are here, I said, I've got to give Caitlin a bath. So I said, if y'all would take her in the bathroom, back there in the major bathroom, where the tub is, and give her a bath, it sure would help me. I appreciate y'all doing that. So they go back there, and they get her ready for a bath. All of a sudden, Maraca comes running out. Dad, something's wrong with Caitlin. Man, I dropped everything. I ran back in there, and Tim, any of y'all that know my son Tim, he's a bodybuilder. He was a pro football player almost in high school, I mean. He's a chunk of man. He ain't some little bitty wimp. He could not hold Caitlin. She was screaming, climbing him all over. He said, Dad, what's wrong with her? I said, give her to me. She's got a demon. How did that evil spirit get in her? He got in at the wreck. When her little spirit was opened, that beast entered her. He had legal right because of some of the things her daddy had done in his life. It's awful what happens to us because we do not walk holy before God. I grabbed that little girl. I said, you're in my care now. You're under my authority. And I said, I'm a man of God, and I walk in obedience to God's word. And I said, you demons of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus. Tim and Maraca ain't never seen nothing like this in their life. She's screaming. And I'm commanding these demons to leave. Tim saying, Dad, I said, just be quiet. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you. And she's clawing all over me. And any other time, she wouldn't have had enough strength to pick her leg up to put it in the bathtub. But today she's a raving maniac. I continue to rebuke those demons and command them to leave. Our enemy, which most of us don't even know is there. He's there because we opened a door through sin. And he came into Caitlin at that wreck. And in just a few minutes there, I commanded those demons to leave her. And all of a sudden, she becomes a quiet, gentle little lady snubbing in my arms. And Tim says, "Dad, what happened?" I said, "No problem, son. She just had a demon. I kicked him out in the name of Jesus." What if I hadn't been trained, Lou? What if I hadn't known these things? Yeah, isn't that something? These devils of hell, these demons of hell, who made those demons? Who'd the scripture say made them? God did them. He made them, didn't he? Well, why? If he made them for him and for his glory, then you get to thinking, if God is the God of love, why did he make demons? I'll tell you why he made them now. I now know. That's just like when the legislature makes a law down here in the state of Texas, and they say the speed limit on that highway out there is 65 miles an hour. I realize once they make the law and put the sign up, nobody's ever going to break the law, right? Oh, y'all are smarter than I thought you was. I mean, almost everybody breaks the law, don't they? Very few people. When you drive down that road out there at 65, very few are driving 65. Is that right? Most of them driving 70 or 75, whatever they can fudge and think they're not going to get caught, that's what they're doing. So what do we have to do? We have to hire a police department to control the multitudes. Is that right? Do you know? No offense to a police officer. They do a good job. But that's exactly what God made the demons for. To control the multitudes. He made a set of rules. He tells you in his book that if you will obey him, these spirits will not be able to touch you. He guarantees it. He even tells you, if you're walking in obedience to his word, he has given you all power and authority over those demons. They cannot touch you. But you better know the truth. If you don't know the truth, that's like the story I told yesterday, talking about demons in the healing school, the little 13-year-old girl. Most people have never seen a deliverance in their life. I've been through some awesome deliverances in my life with people. I've been down on the floor with people, both men and women. I have been socked, hit, kicked, spit on, and everything else by demons, but no more. Because I now know who I am in Christ, and I don't have to worry about it. I can kick them out in the name of Jesus now, because I'm now well trained in that area. I know my power and my authority, but I also know I have to walk in 100% obedience to God's word to have power over demons. Amen. And when I speak in the name of Jesus, they have to obey me. So I'm not afraid of a devil, just like those demons over there that day in the house. I knew I had power over those devils. I knew my life was clean. I knew I had power over them, and it took me a few minutes to get those devils out of Caitlin. But she's okay now. Do people in church have demons? Oh, sure we do. Yeah. I mean, we have demons, but we don't know what's causing us to do what we do. We don't understand it. And some people don't realize that somebody says, well, if I have a demon, then what am I do with this thing? Hey, you repent and kick him out. That's what you do. You repent and kick him out. You don't let demons control your life as a Christian. But if you never learn who the enemy is and how he works, you'll never be able to get him out. You know, but anyway, let's go on here. It says here, for by him, Jesus, were all things made, all things were created, things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You know, when I first started studying the Bible, all of a sudden, after I'd read it a couple of times, I knew more than God did. Y'all know what I mean, right? You feel like when you begin to get a little knowledge, you think, okay, God, I could think of a better way to do this than you did it. You know, I wouldn't do it this way. And then all of a sudden, the longer you serve him and the more you begin to see how he's working and how all these things work, you think, wow, is he awesomely smarter than me? I don't even hold a light to him. Do y'all know what I mean? He knew what he was doing. And this is the way he is controlling the world. This is the way he judges the world, through these demons. I mean, he's in control. Now then, Paul told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why do we have to wrestle against these things? If we do, then what do we do about this? You know, if we have an enemy, well, let's go back to the scripture in verse 13 in Ephesians 6. Let's go to verse 13 and let's see what the Lord says about what we are supposed to do over this enemy. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers. So he said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having done all to stand. Now then, the evil day. Why in the world do we have to have an evil day? I know none of us will ever sin again. Will we? Do you think you'll ever sin again? Sure, you'll sin again. Yeah, you'll sin again. You'll make a mistake. And most people today don't even know what sin is. They really don't know. You know, I mean, who would ever dream that God said in his word, way back yonder a long time ago in the old covenant, he said, I sent the destroyer to kill them because of their grumbling and complaining. Do you think he likes grumbling and complaining? I know none of us ever grumble and complain. Oh, we don't, huh? You know how hard it is to go through your whole day and never grumble and complain, not one single time? You know, it's real hard. It's not easy, you know. I mean, it's so easy to get off onto that grumbling and complaining. But God said he hates it. Don't do it. Because he said in the old covenant, he said, I sent the destroyer to kill them because of their grumbling and complaining. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, do you want him to send one of these demon destroyers against you because you're a continual, habitual grumbler and complainer? But do you know people that are like that? Yes. Now, is God merciful to them? Yes, he don't kill them the first time they grumble and complain, because if he did, I know one guy wouldn't be here today, don't you? You're pointing to yourself, too. If he wasn't very merciful to all of us, none of us would be here, right? Because we have grumbled and complained and fussed and fought and done all kinds of things. And God, in his infinite mercy, has forgiven you. You know, he has not killed you. So, but he tells us here, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Well, what is the whole armor of God? Well, let's see what the next verse says. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's one of the weapons. Truth. What is truth? It's not what you think it is. Yeah, truth is the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God. You know, you'll see people say, well, I think God does this. Where'd you get that? Well, I just believe that's the way it is. Well, I'm telling you, that's not true. But I don't care what you say. They'll say, I'll quote the Word of God to them. They say, well, I don't believe that. You know, I believe this. But you know, that's where God said in his Word, he said, let every man be a liar and only God be true. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So if God says something in his Word, you better believe it's true. It is absolute fact. And if you want to know what truth is, there's only one place to find it. In God's Word. You read his Word. Then when you stand in truth, that's one of the things that you can stand against the devil. You know, when you stand in truth, you stand in God's word. Now then, let's go on and read and see what some of the other things are. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. If you're fighting against an enemy and he's firing fiery darts at you and you don't have your breastplate of righteousness, you're going to be in trouble. If you're not walking righteous before God, if you're not walking in righteousness, then you're walking in unrighteousness. And if you're walking in unrighteousness, then you don't have a shield before you. One unrighteous act cracks your armor. And an arrow from the devil will pierce that crack. And it will come right into you. And you can take a man or a woman, either one, that's perfectly well. Not a single thing wrong with them. And they can tell one lie to somebody and the crack occurs. And maybe this is the time you've told this lie 500 times now and God hates lying. And all of a sudden, a fiery dart comes right through that crack and hits you right in the heart and you're instantly sick or you're having a heart attack. And almost nobody puts it together that it was my sin of lying that just caused me to have a massive heart attack. But you're fighting against an enemy. That's why God told you, wear the breastplate of righteousness. Always walk righteous before God. That's kind of like the other day. I was at a place, Cheryl and I was, and I was talking to the people, the congregation, about women and wives and husbands. And I said, wives, right here, I'm reading it out of the scripture. I said, wives, you must submit to your own husbands in everything. You must obey your husband in everything. And there was a woman sitting back there, kind of toward the back. She just reared back and she said, are you telling me I got to obey my husband? I said, ma'am, I ain't telling you that. I'm telling you God is telling you that. She said, I don't believe that. She said, I've been in church all my life. No preacher's ever told me I got to obey my husband. I said, well, you're looking at one that's telling you because I'm reading it to you right out of God's word. I said, now, woman, I'm going to tell you something else from this day forth. If you don't fall in submission to his word now, I wouldn't give 2 cents for your life from this day forward. I said, you have been warned. She never did believe what I said. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. But did God say, wives, submit to your husbands, obey them in all things? Yes, Kim, did he really say that?
Yes, he did. Yes, sir.
You're a woman now. And you know that's what he said. So you know he's going to hold you accountable to that word, didn't he?
Yes.
Wow. Well, see, right behind that, he says, husbands, love your wives too, like Christ loved the church. Did he not say that?
Yes.
Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And if you love your wife like Christ loved the church, then he said your prayers will not be hindered. Which means if you don't love her like that, forget it. You ain't going to get a prayer answered. Ain't going to do no good for you to go to God in prayer. If you're a married man and you're not loving your wife like Christ loved the church, forget it. He's not going to hear your prayer.
Got to be ready to die for it too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's amazing. So we need to live in righteousness. We need to live in truth. And he said, and of course, using an example here of a soldier, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What are we supposed to live in as Christians? Peace. When we live in peace, we open no doors to the enemy. When we walk in peace with everybody, walk in love. You know, walk in peace. This is what God's telling us. This suit of armor he's telling us to wear on a regular basis. Let's go to the next two verses, 17, 16. Above all, take the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? That's it. That's exactly what it is. The word of God. The Lord says, and you quote his word, that's the shield of faith. Jesus says, you take somebody that gets sick, say they get so sick they can't even stand up. They're just sitting down. Oh, I'm so sick. I can't do anything. And I pray for you. And you say, well, I'll give you an example. Just like a couple few months ago when Trevor, he was sitting right here, 18 years old, had his leg broke. Both main bones broken, and his ankle tore all to pieces. He said, I need you to pray for me. He had walking on crutches. I prayed for him right here. I said, now, sir, what do I need to do? I said, Trevor, the first thing you need to do is praise and worship God. That's the main thing he wants to hear from you is praise and worship. He said, I can do that. I said, and Trevor, I said, since your dad got healed, I said, I know you've been listening to my teachings. I said, do you consider yourself a real man of faith? He said, yes, sir, I am a man of faith. I believe God's promises. I said, okay, then hand your mother those crutches and walk off on that broken leg without the crutches. Some people say, you're crazy. Well, if you got faith, it's going to work. He handed his crutches to his mother and he started walking. He gets all the way to that back corner right there. And I said, Trevor, I said, how's it feel? He said, Mr. Scrivener, it hurts like crazy, but he said, I'm going to do it. I said, okay. So he walks on outside and gets in the car and they go home. But Wednesday, he called, Sunday. Wednesday, he calls back and he said, I got to talk to Pastor. And Cheryl answered the phone. She said, Trevor, what's wrong? I said, Pastor's not available. I said, what's wrong? Can I help you? And he said, yes, ma'am, my leg is killing me. I just can't do this. She said, Trevor, I talked to your mom when you were here. And I understand that your real dad, your birth dad, is in prison, and he was very abusive to you as a young man. He said, yes, he was, and I hate him. Cheryl said, Trevor, you have to forgive him. That's why you got your right leg broken, because you have an unforgiveness towards your dad. She said, if you will forgive him right now, tell the Lord, I forgive my dad, and then you will sit down and write him a letter and tell him, I love you, Dad. Even though you abused me and treated me horrible, I still love you. He said, I will do that. And he did that. And 2 weeks later, Trevor was right here running and playing on that leg. It was completely healed, his leg and his ankle and everything. 2 weeks later, that leg was healed without even a doctor. But the enemy, this enemy that we don't know nothing about, he's the one that puts the thoughts in your mind. Oh, look how your dad abused you. Hate him. And Trevor bought into that. He didn't listen to God that says, Trevor, love everyone. Forgive everyone from your heart. Walk in love. He listened to this enemy. See, we don't know enough about this enemy. He's the one that puts bad thoughts in our mind. He's the one that wants us to sin against God. He's doing this because he wants legal right to us. When I learned this principle, I thought about it like this. I used to be a young man that really loved hot rods. I had a really nice 40 model Ford coupe with a great big 300 horsepower Chevrolet engine in that thing, and that thing was a screamer. You know, and then when I'd pull up to a stoplight, he's sitting there shaking, you know, roar, 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 you know, all this stuff. I used to love that junk when I was a dumb, stupid kid. And I just think about a cop pulling up beside me. You think, oh, be careful. You know, when you take off, you ease off real easy. And I think one day the cop, he pulls up there and he's got his car with loud pipes on it. He said, roar, roar, roar. Come on, son, let's go. When the light changes, let's soon get to the next light. I said, are you kidding me? He said, no. And he's a cop. So I think, this guy, he's really serious. I said, okay, that light's here. Wrong, we go, man. And we get down there, about halfway down there, and I'm breaking the speed limit, squealing the tires. He turns on his red lights. And I pull over, and he said, we're taking you to jail, son. I said, but you, he said, nobody's ever going to believe you. They're going to believe me. Do y'all see what I mean? Now, I hope I never meet a police officer that would do me like that. But let me tell you what, the demons of hell will do you like that every day. They will deceive you. They will get you to sin. And then they got you. And then they come in and you're invisible and you can't even see them. But the thought that comes to your mind, just go ahead and sin. Go ahead and do this. And then you do it. And then they have legal right to you. And then that's when you come down sick or afflicted, you or your children. And people don't have a clue what's going on. The only way you can learn the things I've learned is to spend a few thousand hours with God in His Word. And then He'll reveal all this to you. He'll show you how this works. It says, above all, take the shield of faith, which is the Word of God, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I mean, when the devil puts a thought in your mind to do something, I mean, I think the way he's getting so many of our young people today. I mean, a young man sees a young woman, a thought comes to his mind. Wow, wouldn't you like to go to bed with that? And the boy says, yes, I would. Because he's a boy. And instead of saying, oh, the Word of God says I'm to keep myself clean and pure. No, I wouldn't like to go to bed with that at all. I don't even want to look at that. I want to keep myself clean and pure. You say, devil, get behind me. But see, if you don't know who the enemy is that's putting that thought in your mind, you'll continue to pursue that thought about that woman until it drives you crazy. You see where I'm coming from? And it's the devil that's doing it. So he can get legal right to you so he can kill you and destroy you. Instead of saying, no, the Word of God says, the shield of faith, the Word says, walk holy before God. The Word of God says, no sex before marriage. I'm keeping myself clean and pure so I can be a man of God. So one day God will bring me the perfect mate and she'll be clean and pure. When He brings her to me, then that's the way it's going to be. But almost nobody believes the Word of God today. I think about the people even in church that don't believe these promises. But the Word says it. The shield of faith, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Whatever thought he puts in your mind, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you've got power over it if you just believe God's Word. And take the helmet of salvation. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to make sure that you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. If He is your Lord and your Savior, you can't say that with your mouth and it work. It's got to come out of your mouth because it comes from your heart. When you say you're a Christian, you're going to start obeying God's Word. Just like one of them young boys up here yesterday. He wanted to be delivered of cocaine. Yeah. He said, I am hooked on cocaine and I want to be delivered. And I'm going to tell you, the Word of God. In fact, I'm going to take me to Joel 2:32 in the King James. And I want to show you what I showed this young boy yesterday. Look what this says. Now, this is the Word of God. Maybe it will come to pass. Is that what that said?
It shall.
What did that say, Christy?
It shall.
Oh, it shall. Is there not much difference between it shall and maybe, right? It shall come to pass. Is that what that said, girl? It shall come to pass that whosoever. Are you a whosoever?
I am.
Yeah, I told that young boy yesterday. I said, let's put your name right there, son. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I said, you want to be delivered of cocaine? All you got to do is take that word right there and believe that and call on the name of Jesus right now and believe that. And I said, He will deliver you. I guarantee it. He said, I had no idea it was that simple. Well, see, that's what's wrong with us. But is that what that book says?
Yes. Amen.
Can God lie to you?
No.
I said, now let me tell you something else. Now, next time, he called. I said, call on the name of Jesus right now. I said, Lord, according to that scripture, I want to be delivered of cocaine. I said, and He will deliver you. I said, now next time that the enemy puts his little arm around your shoulder and says, wouldn't you love to have one more shot of cocaine? I said, you're going to have to tell him, no, I've been delivered of that, and I certainly ain't going back to it. But see, that's where we mess up. We don't believe God. The thought comes back. When the thought comes back, we think, well, I just got to have one more shot of cocaine. I'll just do this just one more time. The enemy has you again. He has you again. This enemy that's invisible, that you're listening to him more than the Word of God. Because if you believe that promise of God, when the thought come back, I've got to have one more shot of cocaine, you say, devil, get out of my life. I am a son of God. I'm delivered. I ain't never doing that again. Run him off. But people don't understand the invisible battle that we're fighting. Our enemy, we don't know who he is. And so he beats up on us. And every young person, old person, middle-aged person that's on any kind of addictions, any kind of drugs, alcohol, sex, violence, anger, rage, anything else, they're in control of the devil, the invisible beast. And they have all power over him in the name of Jesus. All I got to do is call on the name of Jesus and believe what it says. That's just like Isaiah Reed. He's a black guy. You know, and I remember when I watched that, I got a whole new revelation of the grace of God after I watched his testimony. We have a copy of it back there if you haven't listened to it. Have you listened to it? Isn't it awesome? I mean, hear this boy. He is raised up by a good Christian family. His mother and dad are missionaries, evangelists. And how can he be raised in a home like that and then turn out to be a stupid pimp? But that's what happened to him, you know. And he's making more money than he knows what to do with. He's got money running out his ears. He can go down and buy a brand new Ferrari, you know, and pay cash for it. He had all the money in the world he needed. But he was living a life that was taking him straight to hell. And how that boy absolutely got killed. And he was DOA at the hospital, and the autopsy man had him opened up, his chest opened up, and doing an autopsy on him because he'd been stabbed 19 times with a big old long knife and shot twice with a 38 right in the mouth. And his mother called and said, I want to talk to my son. And they said, ma'am, he's DOA. She said, put the speaker in the room where they're doing the autopsy. I'm going to pray. And she did. You talk about a mother on Mother's Day. Wow. That mother prayed for her son, Isaiah Reed, and rebuked the spirit of death, and God raised her son because of that mother's prayer, raised her son from the dead. And he's laying there with his chest cut open with being an autopsy. Is that what it said? And he come back to life. The doctor sewed him back up, and in 30 days, Isaiah's out of the hospital and goes right back into the drug world. I thought, man, if I was God, I'd have killed him. You know, I'd have killed him. I wouldn't have raised him from the dead if I'd known he was going to have done that. But see, aren't y'all glad I'm not God, see? God has mercy. God has much more mercy. But God raised him up. And then, of course, as he's in his drug world and doing all the stuff, one day he had this girl that wasn't getting along too good. She was crying and everything. He said, what do you want, woman? Some more money? She said, no. He said, well, then you must need some more drugs. She said, no, I don't want nothing. He said, anytime a woman don't want money or drugs, it's time to knock her out. He reached up and grabbed her and pulled back and said, I know what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to pray for you. And he said, what? Where did that come from? I'm going to pray for you. And so he prayed for her, and the woman got saved. And then, you talk about God. Now, you talk about a mother that's been praying for that mom been praying for that boy. When God speaks out of his mouth, this story I'm telling you is a true story. Some of you have seen the DVD. If you haven't, you need to get a copy and listen to it. And so he says, all of a sudden he hears this voice. Isaiah, how about you? He said, who's talking to me? He said, Isaiah, it's God. He said, I don't believe in you. He said, that's okay. Whether you believe in me or not, I'm real. How about you? He said, God, even you couldn't clean me up. He said, why don't you let me do it? He said, well, okay. He said, what do I got to do? He said, all you got to do is ask me. Okay, Lord, you demand. If you can do anything with me, do it. And he said, Isaiah said, I was knocked down on the floor. I was mopping up the floor with my tears and repenting of all my sins. And that boy got gloriously saved, and today he's a missionary.
Amen.
Can God do the impossible?
Amen.
Now then, because of that mother's prayer, she understood the enemy who had her son. And she took the authority that she rightfully had as a woman of God. And she kicked out those demons of hell. And she prayed that prayer of faith for her son. And today that boy is a missionary. He's an evangelist preaching the word of God. Wow. That's why a lot of you in this room are here today, because of the prayers of your mother. If you hadn't had a mother, or your mother had died at birth, some of you, instead of being here today, sitting here listening to God's word, you'd already be dead. You'd be dead and in hell because you didn't have a mother to pray for you. You would have never found God without somebody's prayers. You know that? Nobody finds God without somebody's prayers. It's not an accidental thing. It's only done. The salvation of the souls of every human being on this earth comes into existence after somebody prays. And a lot of times it's the mother. But it should be the father too. But some of our fathers are not too good of men. There's some rotten men out there. Y'all know that? Rotten. I mean, they don't want to have nothing to do with their children or nothing. It's amazing how rotten some people are. But how do we change those people? By prayer and walking in faith, learning who the enemy is, taking authority. In fact, I just heard a testimony just a few minutes before I came in here about a man that prayed. He was one of the greatest men of faith I've ever known of. I didn't know him. He died before I was born. But his name was Mueller. And he run an orphan's home in England. He could pray and the world would change. I mean, that man, they could come up and say, Brother Mueller, we've got 2,500 children down there. We have no food and it's lunchtime. He said, tell them to all be seated. I will pray. And he would go to the throne of grace and ask the Father in Jesus' name to move on somebody's heart to bring them a truckload of food so he could feed 2,500 kids. And all of a sudden, somebody in England's heart would be moved. They said, by the way, take a truckload of food over to Mueller's orphanage. All of a sudden, something just told me to do that. And I remember one man one time, God had moved on his heart, and he was disobedient. He wouldn't do that. Finally, he said, okay. He said, take a load of food over to Mueller's orphan's home. He said, I got to get some sleep. He said, no, second thought, take two. No, take three. He said, no, take five. Take five truckloads of food. He said, I've got to be able to get some rest. God will not let me rest. I can't sleep because I know I've got to give them kids some. And Mueller's over there praying. And isn't it amazing what he could do? But that man prayed, Mueller prayed for a man that was lost until he died. And as far as Mueller knew, this man never accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. About a year after Mueller's death, the Lord brought that man into the kingdom. And he went out there and knelt down on Mueller's grave. Said, I used to make fun of you and everything else, but I now know my life has been changed and I'm going to be in the kingdom of God because you prayed all those years for me. Isn't that something? God always honors our prayers. Now, I love it when you pray and somebody gets changed within a few minutes or a few hours or a few days. But it's terrible when you have to wait 65 years.
He also filled
Yeah. Yes. It's amazing, you know, the prayers that God answered for Mr. Mueller. He was quite a man of God. Like one of the other ones I remember that was so awesome, when he was coming to England, or from England to the United States for a meeting on a ship. And the ship had to slow down because the fog was so bad. And so after two or three days of this thick fog, he went up and asked the captain, he said, sir, are we going to be on time? He said, no, at this rate, we're going to be at least a day late. He said, well, then it's time for us to pray. Where can we pray? The captain said, well, let's go into my office and my cabin. So they went in there and Mueller prayed. And after he prayed, the captain said, now I'll pray. And Mueller says, no, captain, I do not want you to pray. You would pray in unbelief. I have already prayed in faith. The fog is gone. And they got up and walked outside, and it was as clear as it could be. Not a fog nowhere. And that man fell down before Mueller and said, I don't know this Jesus that you prayed. Would you lead me to him? And he had the privilege to lead that captain into the kingdom of God. See, when people see God move when you do something like that, if they don't accept the Jesus, you know, they're either completely minds are blinded by the God of this world, or they're just, well, that's got to be what it is. Any human being in their right mind that their mind is not blinded by the god of this world. If I told you that I can show you the most awesome life to be lived there ever was, or that God will answer your prayers for yourself or for your mate or for your children every time. He will bless you. He'll bless your socks off. You can have divine health and walk in this all the rest of your life. And then when you die, you get to go to heaven and live with him. And they say, I'm not interested. There's something wrong with that person, right, Lou? And you know what's wrong with them? The god of this world, that's right. This enemy that we have, he has blinded that person's mind to the truth of the gospel. And it takes some serious praying and commanding of spirits to get those spirits out of people so they can come to know Jesus, because Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and come to know him as Lord and Savior. But look at that deliverance. It shall come to pass. Not maybe. It shall. In fact, Christy and Cheryl prayed that prayer. Y'all were in a Walmart here somewhere here a while back. You remember that? You and your mother was in a Walmart somewhere, and there was a woman. Yeah, and the woman says, I think maybe both of them knew her. I don't know who, anyway, but they knew them. And this woman was all crying and teared up. And they said, what's wrong with you? And she said, my son's on, what was it? Heroin. My son's on heroin, and he won't even read the Bible. He won't go to church. He's mean. He does everything wrong. And Cheryl, she said, well, let's pray. Now, she's in Walmart.
Christy came and got me. I was in the toy section buying for Christmas, and she came.
Oh, okay, yeah, she's buying for Christmas. So Christy comes and gets her mother, because she knows her mother is not where she is. She knows Mama knows how to pray. So Mama comes over there, and she prays, goes to the throne of grace, kicks out them demons of hell, and sicks the Holy Ghost on that boy. I mean, I don't know what all she done, but I know she done it. Because Christy was in there, what, 2 or 3 months later, 4 months later, whatever it was, and that woman told Christy, said, Christy, you got to tell your mom. After your mom prayed that prayer for my son, he has got gloriously saved. He's playing drums in a cowboy church. He's going to church every, and he's reading his Bible all the time. Now, what kind of power and authority do we have over the devil? When we're walking in obedience to God's word, whenever Cheryl spoke in the name of Jesus, them demons and invisible beasts that's blinding that boy's mind had to line up.
Amen.
They had to do exactly what she commanded them to do. Now, just think, what if she didn't know her power and authority over these demons? What if she hadn't prayed? That boy would still be right where he was. But that's just like that boy stood here yesterday. He wanted to be delivered from that too. Did the scripture promise to deliver him?
Yeah.
Sure. Just like I told him. I said, but when that demon comes back and puts his little arm around your neck and says, wouldn't you like to have one more shot of cocaine? I said, you have to tell him to take a flying leap and get out of your life in the name of Jesus. Because if you don't, if you entertain that thought just for a few minutes, he'll just keep on nudging you and say, go ahead, just one more. And he'll deceive you. And you'll be back on cocaine or whatever you're hooked on. But you can get free from it if you believe God's word. Just think, is that an awesome promise?
Amen.
And just think, God didn't say, Lou, it might come to pass, did he? He said it shall, didn't he? Isn't that something? You think about the power of this awesome book. Wow. Now let's go back to where we were in Ephesians 6, verse. I think we're about verse 15 or 16. Let's go back to Ephesians 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, just like I told that young man yesterday, I said, when that spirit comes back and tells you, just take one more dose, one more shot, I said, you take the word of God, which is a sword of the Spirit, and you cut his head off with it. You sling it. You know, before I really learned who I was, I used to do that. You know, whenever the enemy would come to me and try to tempt me with something like that, I would literally, I'd say, I am taking the word of God, and I would quote a scripture, and I said, Satan, I'm cutting your head off. And I'd go that way, and then I said, the sword's double-edged, so I'm coming back and cut you again. And then I'm going to run you through. And I used to do that. But guess what? It worked. It worked. Because God says, I'm taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I take that and I cut that devil asunder with it. I can't see him, but I know he's there because I know the thoughts he just put in my mind. He wanted me to do something that wasn't according to God's Word, that wasn't walking in love. And I capture that thought and throw that thing down in the name of Jesus. Now then, when you're walking in obedience to God's Word, let's go on down to verse 18. We'll go one more verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Should we pray for everybody? Absolutely. I mean, since it's Mother's Day, I think about, since Cheryl's sitting here on the front row with her two kids, one on either side, you two kids probably have no idea how many hours your mama spends praying for you. You know that? I guarantee this mama here, I know she prays for both of them because I'm with her a lot, and she prays for her children. Guarantee it. I mean, but thank God. Thank God she's a praying mother. You know, if she wasn't, then they would not be where they are. They might already be dead, both of them. If mama had died way back yonder when they were 4, 5, or 6 years old, neither one of them might be here today. Y'all know that? They might already be dead. But they're alive because that woman right there knows how to pray. Their mother. But the Lord tells us to do that. Wow. Does he ever tell us what to do? Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. Next Sunday, we're going to start right there. And I'm going to tell you what the weapons that he told us to use against the enemy. I didn't realize until I looked at my watch. It's already 4 o'clock. You know, I just, 2 hours goes by so quick, I just can't hardly, where does it go? But next week, we're going to start right there. We're going to talk about the weapons that we have to fight against this enemy. God's given us all kinds of weapons. We can defeat the enemy. He has told us what to wear. Now, technically speaking, he's not telling you to get up in the morning and put on each one of these things. What he means when he tells you about the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the walking in peace, what he's telling you is this is how you're supposed to live every day. You live in peace. You live in righteousness. You live with all these things. You live with the Word of God hidden in your heart. And when you do, you don't get up in the morning. I've had lots of people tell me, I get up every morning and the first thing I do is put on all the pieces of the armor. I said, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. You can't put that stuff on. I said, it's a spiritual suit and you wear it all the time. If you get out of peace, you just got a crack in your armor and a fiery dart can come through. You get out of truth, you get into a lie, you've just got a crack in your armor and a fiery dart can come through it. So don't yield to that beast. Don't go there. Walk holy in his presence. Father, we praise you and thank you for another day, that you've given us another day. We thank you for these mothers. We thank you for all the mothers all over the world, Lord, the ones that have been the right kind of mother, the one that have prayed for their children, those that know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, and I pray that more of the women out there that are mothers will know you as Lord and Savior. And I praise you. Oh, how I praise you and thank you, Master, that you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and God of Gods. I thank you. I thank you for mothers. I thank you that you bless me with one of the best mothers in the world. Lord, she was such a lovely woman that loved you with all her heart. And she taught me that. In fact, she's the main one behind my faith that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What a mother to teach me these principles. May all mothers be like that. And then may the sons and daughters that are praying for and teaching, may they receive the truth that comes from their mother, from the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. Thank you for giving us this good day. And may we have a great week this week as we go. May we do something for the kingdom of God this week. May we bless people. May we share with people about the kingdom, and may we walk holy in your presence. So you'll bless us, and I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.